Maundy Thursday, you may know this, but it's always good. A quick refresher. Maundy from the Latin mandatum or mandate, commandment, because we get two on this night. The do this often of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, and maybe even more so, Jesus' new commandment, the commandment he gives to the disciples. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Maundy Thursday, the first day of the Triduum, the great 3 days that will end with Easter Sunday. And if you're thinking to yourself, that sounds like 4 days in there, that's because you don't recognize that when you do these church things, we start the day in the evening. And so technically, Maundy Thursday doesn't start for about 10 minutes when the sun goes down. But the great 3 days, that goes until Sunday evening. Maundy Thursday, Jesus in the upper room, when he washes his disciples' feet. As I was reading that, I'm guessing that there might at least be a couple of you who, in reading, hearing of Jesus washing feet, thought of a recent advertisement. I think it's still going around, an advertisement, a television commercial that first aired during the Super Bowl, one of the He Gets Us campaign commercials. You might know of this group of Christians who have sunk a lot of money into putting a whole bunch of commercials, some of them better than others, on TV, evidently going after a crowd of those maybe who have been hurt by the church or who have gotten the idea that Christianity is only about telling you what to do or not to do, that to present to Jesus in these commercials that instead of that, well, gets us, who gets our brokenness and welcomes, loves us no matter what sort of thing. Well, there's one of these in the Super Bowl, and it had to do with this foot washing. And the interesting thing about this one is it seemed to anger just about everybody. $14 million for this one minute commercial, basically a picture of a bunch of different people washing other people's feet, the soundtrack behind it. And the intriguing thing about this was that the person washing the feet of the other person was usually a person who, instead of washing that person's feet, would be spitting on them, or worse, or hating them, or dismissing them somehow, at least stereotypically. So there's a picture of someone who looks like a Texas rancher or something washing the feet of someone who looks like they just came across the border. Or there's a woman, kind of a suburbanite minivan type mother, seems to be washing the feet of a young woman outside of an abortion clinic. And the last one is a picture of a pastor or priest on the beach washing the feet of an effeminate looking man. Like I said, these commercials seem to anger just about everyone. There was a small handful. The artistic types didn't like it for the AI-enhanced photography. They didn't like that. But the real anger came from folks on either side of, well, the political spectrum. The folks on the left, they didn't like it. They didn't like it because the washers, almost all of them, not all of them, but the washers almost all looked, well, something like me. And the washees predominantly were poor or young or brown. And so this group hated it as just one more example of condescension from the we've got the moral high ground and don't really need washing religious crowd. Folks on the other side of the spectrum attacked it for being too woke, as implying that he gets us means that he looks the other way or he leaves us as we are. I suppose both sides were justified in their own way. Or maybe we should just say that in this stage, if you can manage to put something out there in the world that everyone hates, you may be doing something right. My reaction was twofold. First, I thought, $14 million. Wow. But my other reaction was this. I don't know if it was accurate or not, but I was to think of all the people viewing this, maybe not the most biblically literate people around in these days, of all the people viewing this, these people washing each other's feet, How many of the people watching that had no idea where this came from and thought to themselves, that's really creepy? If going to church means that someone is going to try and wash my feet, no thank you. We have a shine program going here in a couple of weeks. You may or not aware of this. There's a sign up out there the 14th, a couple Sundays after church. And then through the week, we're going to go out and shine the light of Christ in the community. Various service projects will be involved in that. Lots of these service projects. But guess what one of the service projects is not? We will not be setting up a foot washing station on the downtown mall. Why? Might be illegal. Not sure if you can do that. But what do you think the reaction would be if I were to go up to someone on the downtown mall and say, hi, I love Jesus, I'd like to wash your feet? I imagine mothers grabbing their children and scurrying off. Why? Because it's creepy. Because it's close. Because it's tactile. Because it's one-on-one. It's boundary crossing. It's intimate even. Maybe not quite as creepy in Jesus' day. People got their feet washed by a servant girl when they came in, open-toed shoes and sandy roads and all that sort of stuff. But even so, even then, still close. Too close, really, for some. And so Peter comes, when Jesus comes to his, he's thinking, it's one thing for a servant girl who I hardly even view as a person, who's just a tool, a walking basin to wash my feet. But you, Jesus, you don't wash my feet. That's too close. Something maybe we can relate to. We don't want just anybody. Or maybe we don't want anybody that close. Too close. Because too close means too known. And too known means too vulnerable, which means woundable. And I don't want to be wounded, so stay away. Not so close. The thing that popped into my mind was more than 30 years ago, but I remember it. I was at a wedding with a friend of mine, Christine. I was her plus one. It was a wedding in Nashville. Her friend who was getting married, she was trying to break into the Christian country music scene in Nashville. And so she invited me, and I went to the wedding with her. It was a Christian crowd, but not a Lutheran crowd. They were Pentecostals, most of them. So it was a different sort of service, different sort of people. It's nice. They're wonderful people. And at the reception, though, I remember this. I'm standing there. I remember it. It must have made an impact. I was drinking a Bud Light. I feel like I should apologize for that. I've matured. But I was drinking a Bud Light. And there's this guy from across the room. I can still get the picture of him. I mean, he's 30 years older now. Who knows where he is? But he's maybe 30 then. Short guy, dark hair, kind of plump. He locks eyes with me. Stares at me for about 5 seconds. And then makes a beeline across the room. Puts his hand on my shoulder. And says, I have a word from the Lord for you. I guess this is the thing Pentecostals do. I didn't know this. I wasn't making fun of it. I was kind of scared. He's looking up at me because he's short. And he says, I have a word from the Lord for you. And then he proceeds to tell me a couple things about myself that there's no way he could have known. And gives me this word from the Lord, which I won't tell you what it was. But I will tell you it freaked me out. What did I do? I slammed my Bud Light and got another one really quickly because this creeped me out. This was scary. Why? Because if this guy knows these things about me, what else does he know? Because that is way too close. And if I were to see this man today here in church, I would be scared. Because that guy's just too close. And I don't want him close. Because too known, too close is too known, is too vulnerable. Too woundable, and I'm fragile, and so are you. Jesus comes close. He gets close. He gets dirty feet in his hands close. In fact, I kind of wonder if some of the negative reaction from either side of the folks of that commercial had something to do with they sensed, maybe even latently or subconsciously, that he gets us means that he comes close, maybe a little too close. And they thought maybe on either side, maybe there are some things in me that needs washing. Or on the other side, thinking maybe there are some things that I need to wake up to. And I don't want to hear that because he comes too close. And yet still he comes. Jesus comes close. Jesus, actually, that's the thing maybe that I think more about it, not just the $14 million or wondering if anybody had any idea what this weird foot washing thing is. How many of the people knew who the he is that gets us, who the he is that does the washing? The commercial didn't tell me that. Never tells me that the he who gets us is the one who, when his hour come, having loved his disciples, loved them to the end, loved them to death. It never tells me that he is the one into whom the Father, into whose hands the Father had given all things. And then what is the very first thing the hands who have everything take up? Dirty feet. And they take up not just dirty feet, but whose dirty feet? They take up the dirty feet of Judas, who in just a minute will stomp out on the way to betray him. They take up the dirty feet of Peter, who in a matter of hours will be shuffling around in a courtyard saying, I don't know who this guy is. Takes the dirty feet of the disciples, who within a matter of hours also will be kicking up dust, running away. Who is this that takes feet, who gets us? This is the Jesus who takes your dirty feet and your dirty heart and knows our dirty hearts and all and comes close. Comes close not to wound, but because he loves you to the end. Comes close to wash. Comes close not to wound you, but to be wounded for you. Jesus comes close. He came close enough to wash feet. To wash us close enough to get us, to get our sins, to get our brokenness, to get whatever else it is that makes you not want anyone else to get close. He comes even closer tonight. So close that we get him. Take, eat my body. Drink my blood. Me and you and you and me, never to be far apart. Now, that's the kind of closeness that might make some want to run away. But not from Jesus. You want him close. We have a frequent visitor at our church. His name's David Lukey. Some of you may know him. He usually sits over here. I only say this part tongue-in-cheek. He may be an angel masquerading as a 90-year-old retired pastor. Speak to this man before he dies. He is something else. First time he visited and came up for communion, he came up like this. Oh, I put the bread over here because I thought he was going to give me a hug, but he's like, no. I'm not coming for you. I'm coming for Jesus. He's reaching out to Jesus. The opposite of running away. Saying, come close, Jesus. I'm all yours. You're all mine. Get me. Keep me close. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.